Welcome. We are broadcasting live from the mothership. You are tuned in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio with your host Jonah Bolt. Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in to hear the colors and see the music. Starseed Energy Radio goes live in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome. What's up, Star fam? Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Starseed Energy Radio, where you can always tune in on Friday nights at 11 p.m. Eastern to hear the colors and see the music. I am your host, Jonah Bolt. Today is Friday, November 25th, 2011. It seems time is definitely speeding up because the weeks are flying by. And that track was Power of Love from the album Euphoria Ibiza. And this is the second CD. I played the first CD a few months back. And this is the second CD, so I'll have the information up on the site, and we'll be listening to some more tracks from this throughout the show. Starseed Energy Radio is brought to you in part by Helexalay.com, the new interactive Flower of Life board game. Helexalay is a multifaceted game of discovery based on the ancient geometry known as the Flower of Life. The intention of this game is to create a parameter in which participants communicate their perspectives of topics played. thus creating a deeper understanding of oneself and others. Check out the website, helixilehh.com. That's helixilehh.com. And joining me on the show tonight, I have two very special guests and friends of mine, Brad Collins and Linda Starwolf. People I've met about 6 or 7 months ago and had an amazing experience first time I met them. So happy they're joining us later on in the show, the second half. They are with shamanicbreathwork.com. Also, they have the Venus Rising Institute and the community Isis Cove community out by the Cherokee Reservation here by Asheville, North Carolina. So the second half of the show, they will be joining me. And a shout out to always to the Star Fam, the Galactic Federation of Light, all the Starship Commanders out there, and all multiple dimensional beings of light. And always a shout to all the listeners out there all over the world. And just to give you an update, we're now up to 45 countries throughout the world that have been tuning in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. I got a new website tracker out there, and I was shocked to see 45 different countries coming to the StarseedEnergyRadio.com website. But it is amazing, and we keep growing every week. I literally get hundreds of new visitors every week. So I thank everyone for spreading the light, spreading the love, and telling people about this show, because I could probably guarantee you not too many people in the spiritual community talk about and attack the subjects that we do. And it's because I talk about it, because most of the people in the spiritual community and other communities don't. So I like to bring it up here, talk about it, because, as I always say, to be aware is to be alive. From my favorite cartoon, G.I. Joe. Awesome. Getting started with the fresh updates in from Occupy Wall Street, which we've been covering now for over 2 months. We had the anniversary last week. And this week we have the first Occupy Wall Street's first fatality. We did have Scott, a veteran, Olson, shot in the head with a beanbag or canister and was in critical condition. And also a second vet that was also hurt. This time, someone has been killed, and this story is not the best, so get ready. A protester in Seattle, Washington, aligned with the Occupy Wall Street, says that an assault from a cop last week has caused a miscarriage, which, if true, marks the first loss of life from police brutality since the demonstration began 2 months ago. And I saw this YouTube video. A 19-year-old girl was thrown down, kicked, and hit, and has reportedly lost her baby, her 3-month-old baby, and it's a horrible story, but goes to show you what is really going on out there. Police have been attacking students all over the nation. They've been pepper spraying them. We talked a little bit about last week. Another college, the Coney College in Baruch, a college out in California, was also protesting the tuition hikes and unfair labor practices, and police attacked protesters there. I saw another YouTube video where they just physically shoved the students out of the building. As the students were yelling, this is a college campus, and they were just exercising their free speech rights, and this has been going on nonstop for the last 2 months. This article goes to say, police attack Occupy Coney students. Police attack students of Baruch College, Coney, protesting against tuition hikes and unfair labor practices. Protesters had planned to attend a public trustees meeting, but we were not permitted into the auditorium where the meeting was taking place. Instead, officers surrounded protesters and started pushing them back. Another Occupy Oakland Day of Action took place. This was the reestablishment of the camp that the cops have already twice destroyed. This was the dance party and third police raid for the Occupy Wall Street protesters. Excuse me. Thousands took to the streets and marched through downtown and around Lake Merritt before tearing down a fence around an empty lot to reestablish camp on the 19th, on 19th Street and Telegraph. This was downtown Occupy Oakland. And the cops came once again at a midnight raid, tore down the camps, and pushed everyone out of the park. Also, to walk last week on the Thursday, they did an anniversary walk in Occupy Wall Street in New York. The police deployed the LRAD sound cannons, which we briefly mentioned. This article goes to say, tested on Palestinians, perfected on Occupy Wall Streeters. Introducing the LRAD sound cannon. The New York Police Department deployed a strange new weapon against the tens of thousands of demonstrators who converged downtown for the largest protest in Occupy Wall Street's 2-month history. The LRAD sound cannon. NYPD officers reportedly blasted Occupy protesters with rays from the LRAD cannon. There were three of them there. As the group sang the American National Anthem near Lower Manhattan, Zuccotti Park, establishing an atmosphere of fear and intimidation that lasted throughout the evening. So once again, peaceful protesters were singing the national anthem, and the cops deployed the sound wave cannon, three of them, to stop it. Again, the police are acting against our constitutional rights and not allowing people to express and protest in these protests that have taken the world by storm. There's over 2,500 cities that have either participated or are currently participating in the Occupy protests in over 80 countries. And the mainstream media, again, rarely reports on this. Maybe once or twice they'll mention it, but not too much. This is a good article I have up on the website, starseaenergyradio.com. This one is titled, Occupy Endgame, Arrest the 1%, Emperor Has No Clothes, Obvious Criminals. Occupy's victory means peace from criminal wars based on obvious lies, economic security, and sufficiency for 100% of humanity, and unleashing suppressed technologies that transforms what it means to be human into unimaginable status. That's it right there. What is going on in the world and what is going on with humanity is just insane. Every week I talk about crazy, crazy articles. There's so many articles I can't even talk about them all the time because there's so much going on. And still things seem to be progressing in a downward spiral to where we don't know. And a lot of this has to do with current policies that we put in place, Obama and his regime. It's a worldwide pandemic of what's going on. Fluoride in the water, GMOs in the food, scalar waves hitting us, chemtrails being sprayed. I mean, the list goes on and on. We continue to talk about it every week here because it is so important to get the information out. And I was just talking to a friend about this yesterday. And, you know, who's to say the shift is happening? These are all signs that it is happening and it must happen, but it could be 2013, it could be 2015. I've heard ranges anywhere from 2012 to 2020 before the full shift happens. So for the people that are just waiting for things to happen, that's not this starseed. Don't wait around and sit and wait for things to happen because things are happening right now that you need to be aware of and need to talk about. That you need to spread. You need to spread these articles, these truths to other people to help awaken them because we may still have a year, two or three or five before the great shift happens and things really get shooken up and all this doesn't mean anything anymore because there's no power or whatever else happens. Who knows? But we've heard multiple things about Comet Elenine and 11/11 and you know those days come and pass. The end of the Mayan calendar on October 28th came and went. And the portal is now open. There's energies hitting the earth. People are susceptible and feeling these things. But it could take a few years, people. So pay attention because these things that we talk about here in the show and that I post up on the website are things that are happening now. And, you know, even myself, when I first was awakened about 2 years ago, got in the spiritual community, I was like, disclosure is going to happen in 2010. I thought this and that because all these different, you know, stories and things you read and people's opinions, and there's a lot of stuff out there. The deeper you go down the rabbit hole, the more stuff you find out. So it could be a year or five or ten before the great shift happens, and these things are happening now, which we talk about. So get these information, get these articles, get this show out there. Spread it. We're in over 45 different countries right now. I just put a translator up on the website, and it's just amazing how this is spreading. It's amazing because it goes to show you that the Great Awakening is happening. It's happening all over the world in all these different countries that have been finding the website, and it's amazing. So get these stories out. Now, again, with all this Occupy and stuff that is going on, there have been no calls for arrest of anyone, no indictments, no nothing. So we know that they're just going to let people occupy whatever they want, continue to crack down, because obviously the people aren't being heard. It's been over 2 months now, and there hasn't been any indictments or anything like that. So come on. You know, the powers that be are just like, yeah, we'll let them occupy a park or occupy this, we'll crack down, and because really – nothing's implemented, nothing's really happening except people getting hurt, people getting killed, and people's constitutional rights getting crushed. Not cool, not cool. Anonymous, the awesome group that has taken this cyber attack to the global elites. Anonymous to declare Operation Blackout in response to SOPA. And what is that? That's the Stop Online Piracy Act. I've been talking about this for months. It was introduced to the House of Representatives aiming to censor key aspects of the internet in order to protect the rights of the entertainment industry, is the excuse they're now using. The Protect IP Act, the Senate counterpart to SOPA, already passed earlier this year, which I spoke about in the show, but enforcement has been shelved for the time being due to rising concerns that it has the power to impede freedom of speech. And that's exactly why we don't want this thing passed. It already has passed part of it. While both bills state that they are trying to help the entertainment industry sell more movies and music downloads, the effects of the bill are far-reaching and potentially devastating to internet freedom as well as to the internet itself. We talked about this last week. Even the internet itself and the Google, the Twitters, and Facebook, they're all trying to sue right now as a class action lawsuit and other lawsuits the Congress of the United States because they're passing this. And the Protection IP Act is very important. It's these bills that are changing the face of the country and the planet. We talk about the food bills they're trying to pass, the GMO bills they're trying to pass. It's now illegal in European countries. I think it's Sweden just passed last week to grow your own garden or have your own seeds. Illegal to grow your own food, and it's coming here. We've been talking about it. It's happening. I've been talking about the IP Act, the Protect IP Act, which was already passed, the second part of it. They're trying to push through now. This stuff is going on. Pay attention. Take action. Also, you can always check out my Twitter feed. I always post all week long, or as much as I can, new articles, a lot of stuff that I don't cover in the show because we're limited for time. But always check out StarCityEnergyRadio.com or check out my Twitter feed. Just go to Twitter.com, put in Jonah Bolt, and you can follow me and get news updates as they come in. Why is it important to cover it? Because we're ruled by corporations now. We're ruled by banks and governments that no longer govern for the people, only for special interests. And although these are all signs that the new paradigm is close because all this is being built up to collapse, you still need to be aware of what's going on because it could take a couple years. In a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. A famous quote I say all the time here because we are in a time of universal deceit and telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And that's why we talk about this stuff on the radio, because once you're aware of it, you have to do something about it. Don't hold it inside, because if you're not talking about the problem, you're part of the problem. Now going to the Fukushima update, the Daiichi reactors in Fukushima. We have at least three meltdowns. We've been talking about this. I've watched numerous videos this week. There's been kids all over Maine. And if you watch the jet streams, you'll see when the radioactive stuff comes here. Kids that went home from school, they're having rash and burns. We talked about there's already deaths because of this. There's fallout hitting all over the United States. It is not even spoken about in the news. It's not even spoken about in the news. And there's things you can do now, like I do, to counteract the fallout that is coming. And this article I'll read briefly says, contaminated water from Fukushima, one nuclear plant crossing the international dateline. The Japan Agency for Marine Earth Science and Technology, which only yesterday announced the cesium contamination of the Pacific Ocean is 5,000 meters deep, disclosed the result of their simulation of dispersion of radioactive cesium on the surface of the Pacific Ocean. So they're just now saying that, oh yeah, it's reaching 5,000 meters deep and it's contaminating and it's reaching over the international dateline. It will be reaching the California shores not too long. We talked about this. At least 8% of Japan's ground is covered in radioactive fallout, and that's just what they're emitting is 8%. And we talked about that the radiation leaking into the earth will eventually hit the water table, which will infect all of Tokyo. I think it has 60 million people, and then it's a big, big pandemic, which also they're not talking about. So pay attention, because fallout is hitting the U.S., and these are things to be paying attention to. Check out the YouTube videos. I'll try to post them up, but you can just YouTube Fukushima fallout, burns, sick rashes, kids, and you'll see some videos on that. Also, update on the war in Libya. This article comes out. U.S. mercenaries offered Gaddafi $10 million deal to flee Libya. With the violence and chaos in Libya escalating as the country descends into a civil war earlier this year, many were struck by the image of the country in turmoil. One group of mercenary individuals just saw one thing: a lucrative business opportunity, as most all banksters and businessmen. Four Americans, which was a former CIA agent, a DC terrorism expert, a Kansas City lawyer, and a one-time Republican National Committee member, offered themselves to Gaddafi as consultants for hire. New documents found in Tripoli, government building and published on Facebook show. An upfront fee began and negotiations of a cool $10 million. Awesome. Another side to the great America. The great America has fell years ago, and just now people are seeing the signs. We are behind most of the uprisings here, funding the protests, funding Islamic groups, just like Al-Qaeda is a CIA Operation program. Pay attention. Silence in the face of deception is consent. It is consent. Earth changes. We had a lot of Earth changes going on. Dutchinson put out a great YouTube video this week. If you don't know who he is, check him out on YouTube. And his thing was earthquake threat warning. There's been a big buildup of earthquakes, smaller ones all over the globe, around the Ring of Fire, but nothing on the western coast where his Cali is, and that's what he's saying is a big one's coming. I've been talking about this probably all year. Numerous scientists have said that California is the next one, and this update just came out 2 days ago. Check out the video. What Dutchinson says is pretty much on the money. He's speaking just from graphs and stuff. It's pretty easy to follow, but you'll see how this buildup is of over 3,000 smaller earthquakes in the last couple weeks around the California area that they're saying is building up to a big one. So be aware. Check this stuff out. There's also huge volcanic eruptions down in South America this week that the news does not report. And there's also a huge, I think it was 6.0 earthquake in Bolivia and South America. So the earth changes are still coming. They're happening, and they are increasing as we get closer to the galactic alignment of 2012. So pay attention to this stuff. Now going into the news, and this is breaking news coming out of Malaysia. Tribunal finds Bush and Blair guilty of war crimes. A symbolic tribunal in Malaysia ruled unanimously Tuesday that former U.S. President George Bush and former British Prime Minister Tony Blair were both guilty of crimes against peace for the 2003 invasion of Iraq. Well, that's an easy one. We all know that that was BS, that there's weapons of mass destruction. This is now a currency war, a war on materials, a war on lithium, a rule on war on opium, a war on oil. It's a war on whatever we want, and we'll talk more about that in some articles that are coming up in a few minutes. But this is an awesome ruling. You will, of course, will not hear about this in any Western publications, but the War Crimes Tribunal, which was part of an initiative by former Malaysia Premier, a fierce critic of the Iraqi war, found the former leaders guilty after a four-day hearing. While the court is modeled after the post-World War II Nuremberg Tribunal, it carries no legal weight outside of Malaysia, but it's still good to see that at least countries are paying attention, at least there's some are taking action against the tyranny and the globalists that are now using the American public and people to go into any country just by shifting their views on, oh, we're going to help the humanitarian protesters, or we're going to go into Libya, we're going to help the protesters in Libya, yeah. Meanwhile, we all know what's been happening in Libya, or happened in Libya, and we've been talking about it for weeks and months because it's still going on. So pay attention. This next article I just found out, and I'm going to read most of the whole article because it is just so disturbing. Just found this out, Star Fam, and it is crazy. The article goes, implantable microchips in cyborgs are no longer conspiracy theories. And a lot of the stuff that we talk about, there have been people like the David Icke's or Alex Jones and people for years pouring this stuff out. The people are like, oh, he's a conspiracy theorist. And I've been talking about the chips for years. Oh, it's conspiracy theories. Well, these next three articles that I'll talk about just go to prove that this is really happening. For years, many have mocked the idea of implantable microchips in cyborgs as both conspiracy theories and science fiction. Anyone who so much as mentioned these possibilities to their neighbors risked being labeled either as a religious fanatic or delusional and paranoid. That's been my character quite a few times over the last 10, 15 years. However, as they have become more and more prevalent in everyday society, it has become increasingly difficult to ridicule these concepts. For instance, with stories like the recent Singularity Hub article entitled Revolutionary New Brain Chip Allows Monkeys to Grasp and Feel Objects Using Their Thoughts. These emerging technological possibilities are almost impossible to ignore. For years, shadowy and nefarious agencies like DARPA have openly discussed creating drones designed to look like insects, snakes, and other animals. Largely, these creations have been robotic with the appearance of being an insect, but actually being nothing more than a sophisticated remote-controlled and pre-programmed drone. Great. So now we got insects and snakes and animals that are drones out there spying on us and spying on other countries, and we don't even know what's going on. Going one giant step further, and in indirect relationship to the style of brain tampering spoken about earlier in this article, DARPA has unveiled other projects as well. Awesome. There's more cool projects. As far back as 2007, DARPA announced that it was planning to not only build but grow cyborg moths and other insects for spying purposes. The program Hybrid Insect Microelectric Mechanical Systems involves the construction of a tiny little cyborgs by growing them a living moth around a micromechanical system. Biological engineering is coming. There are already more than 100,000 people with cochlear implants, which have a direct neural connection, and chips are being inserted in people's retinas to combat macular degeneration. By the 2012 Olympics, we're going to be dealing with systems that can aid the oxygen uptake of athletes. There is going to be more and more technology in our bodies. There's going to be a lot of moral debates coming. So there you have it, folks. They're now using chips to put in people's brains to raise the oxygen. So if they're already allowing this to be brought into the Olympics to put into athletes to jack the oxygen in the athletes' brains or whatever, you know the governments have already been using this in people. There's clones out there. They're microchipping people directly into their brain. Who wants a transmitter in their brain transmitting signals out of your brain controlling your body? Now they got monkeys that just think of something and it moves. Whew. This singularity movement is a perfect example of the coming scientific dictatorship and the enthusiasm of some to accept it. Singularity can be defined very simply as the moment when human and machine merge together. It is a philosophy that is gaining more and more steam with the general public as a result of its gradual introduction and promotion by the media, television, games, etc., and prominent individuals like Ray Kurowski and Rodney Brooks. Time Magazine's Lev Grossman discussed singularity in this way. Maybe we'll merge with them to become super intelligent cyborgs, using computers to extend our intellectual abilities the same way that cars and planes extend our physical abilities. Maybe the artificial intelligences will help us treat the effects of old age and prolong our life indefinitely. Maybe we'll scan our consciousness into computers and live inside them as software forever, virtually. Maybe the computers will turn on humanity and annihilate us. The one thing all these theories have in common is the transformation of our species into something that is no longer recognizable as such to humanity in 2011. The transformation has a name, singularity. Singularity is obviously a movement that has been promoted from the top down. This is easily seen by the fact that the backers of the singularity movement are the usual suspects, including NASA, which is government-owned, and Google, as well as individuals like Bill Gates, in addition to Ray Kurowski. Not only that, but major governments have been preparing for the eventuality of massive merger between man and machine for some time. Singularity is also a movement that has its roots in eugenics and the desire of the ruling elites for complete control over the mind, body, and soul of every human being on the planet. Crazy article. Check it out, Singularity Movement. It is happening. It is happening. It is happening. And here's another article just to prove it is happening. Get ready for this, Star Fam. Met police officers to be microchipped. That's right. Over the next 2 weeks, every single metropolitan police officer will be microchipped so top brass can monitor their movements on a Big Brother-style tracking scheme revealed today. According to respected industry magazine Police Review, the plan, which affects all 31,000 serving officers in the Met area, including Sir Ian Blair, is set to be replaced the unreliable airwave radio system currently used to help monitor officer movements. That's what they're using as the excuse. They're saying the unreliable airwave radios aren't working that good, so we're just going to microchip all the cops with the RFID chips, which I've talked about in the show. There's a kill switch in these chips. They can kill you. So let's say they microchip all the cops now, and some of the cops are like, you know what, this brutal dictatorship, I'm joining the protesters, I'm joining my family, I'm not being part of this police department and this corrupt state. They leave, they go rogue, I'm sure the state will call them. Then all they have to do is just send a signal and the person's dead. Now, the cops are speaking out about this. The cops do not want this to happen. As it is reported in the police magazine, the Police Review, one of the largest magazines, but they lose their job. So this system is being implemented over the next 2 weeks. They are all 31,000 being microchipped. Okay? Wake up! It is happening. They are being microchipped as we speak. But many serving officers fear being turned into robocops, controlled by bosses who have not been out on the beat in years. The new electronic tracking device called the Automated Personnel Location System means that officers will never be out of range of supervising officers. Now, they're just going to take controls from a control room. No more radios, no more that. They're just going to be like foot soldiers. Another article, goodbye roll call, hello RFID chips. Another article coming up on the RFID chips. And guess where this one is, folks? This one's in the kindergarten. For some reason, I have vivid memories of roll call from elementary school. It was a daily drill that gave each student a chance to rehearse his identity by writing on the word here. Whether you sang it or burped it, you had to make it memorable, or at least that's how I felt about it. But it's a nostalgia I may not share with my kids, as tracking devices have begun to dispose of the ritual altogether. Last month, a preschool in Richmond, California installed a curiously expensive high-tech system to track the attendance of its students, and it could serve as a pilot program for others to come. There you go. They're putting it into the schools. I talked about this a few weeks ago. They had another program in Florida where they're now scanning everyone's finger. You come to class, they scan your finger. You get in the bus, they scan your finger. They're tracking the movements. It's here. And this article, I'm just going to go into this really quickly, because then we're going to have our guests come on the show, Brad Collins and Linda Starwolf, talking about the MF Global meltdown, the 1.2 that was jacked. This is a big ripple in the industry, and we talked about last week, it's spreading all over. Other investors have been pulling out. Here's another article real quick. Obama receives chilly welcome in Bali. Obama went to give it a speech. He was interrupted by Occupy Wall Street protesters. It's going down. Here's another article. Look at this one. One World Government Trilateral Commission gets their man in as leader of Italy. The new Italian president, meet Mr. Bilderberg, Goldman Sachs, and the new Italian Prime Minister, Mario Monti. If you don't already know by now, folks, the writing's on the wall, and this is the one world government that is happening. It's happening right now. The Egyptian protests, real quickly, there's been over 35 dead in the last week. They've been rising up again because the military has just taken over control of the country, which was not what they wanted. 35 people dead, over 1,700 injured. They're also using the banned neurotoxin gas on the people that are killing them. They're shooting nerve gas. Even the government came out this week saying that, well, we're just acting like the police over in the U.S. It's okay. It's okay. The U.S. is doing it, so no worries. That's the take they're having. Also, real quickly, U.S. escalates role into Somalia. Now we're going into our latest invasion into Somalia, back in the Ethiopian forces. We're also in Uganda, over 100 U.S. troops that the President Obama ordered into Uganda last month. We're now in Uganda. They're not talking about any of this in the news. One by one, country by country. And the worst, I got to talk about this before I go, the worst is coming up, and this is going to escalate. It's going to escalate. This is talking about Syria really quickly. We're back in the quote-unquote Syrian protesters there, which we're not. We're actually helping and arm the resistance there to help a rise. There's been over 3,500 quote-unquote protesters dead in Syria. And as I talked about last week and the weeks before, China and Russia are like, yo, 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 hey, ease up. If you put stuff in battleships and stuff in the Syrian Sea, we're back in Syria. Don't do that. And this article says U.S. deploys aircraft carrier to the Syrian coast. We just sent an aircraft carrier this week. Russia has sent 6 Russian warships to the Syrian Sea, stating that if they do not or attack or do not stop in Spain and NATO, that Russia will attack the European defense systems. They made a statement this week. The head person there, not the president, but the general, saying that radioactive or a nuclear action is not off the plate here. The Russian bear is back. The China has always been called, I even heard from my father years ago, the sleeping giant, which is China, and the Russian bear. They're joining up and they're saying, hey, U.S., NATO, you better stop it. Of course, we're not listening because we just sent the an aircraft carrier to Syria. We're like, what does Russia and China know? We're sending in our aircraft carrier. You all better shut up because we're going to do what we want. And that's the country we live in. You know, keep spreading that light and love. But as much as light and love as you spread, you need to be aware of this stuff, because if you're not aware of the situations that are arising, like I said, it could be a year or five or who knows, because these things are happening now. I know a lot of people are holding on like, hey, it's going to happen. The shift is here. Just hold on. Well, guess what? These things are happening now. And you can't wait on things that you just know might come. I've learned that the hard way most of my life. I'm like, yeah, the money's going to come or this is going to come and you're spending the money you have and da-da-da. I mean, that's the society of how we're trained to be. Don't worry about today and now. The shift is coming, so it's okay all this stuff is happening. It's okay they're microchipping and they're killing protesters because, hey, the shift is here. You know, that's not a way to think and behave. The shift is now. These are things that are showing the shift is happening. It must happen, but there's things you could do now to spread awareness and truth, and that's what we try to attack and talk about here in the show because you got to get this stuff out. StarseedEnergyRadio.com. Follow the Twitter feed. We got live news coming up all the time. And with that, we're going to play another track from the Euphoria Ibiza album. This next track is called Dreaming. Welcome back. You're tuning in and listening to Starseed Energy Radio. That track was Dreaming. And now joining us on the show, I'm so happy to finally have you guys on the show, Brad Collins and Linda Starwolf. How are you guys both doing? Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Jonah. We're good. We're out here in Western North Carolina. It's a beautiful sunny day in the mountains.
Yes, hi, Jonah. Good to hear your voice.
Hey, Starwolf. How you doing? How you feeling?
I'm doing well.
Excellent. Sorry I missed you a few weeks ago when I was out at ISIS Co., but I'm so happy to have you both on the show. And let's start off by going right into shamanic breath work and also talking about your newest book and talking about also the wonderful music artist you have with the CD on the book. And this new book is Shamanic Breath Work, Journeying Beyond the Limits of the Self. So go into the inspiration of where the inspiration of this book came from and the music that accompanies it.
Well, first off, Jenna, I guess I've been writing so many books because I've written 6 in the past 5 years that you haven't caught up with my book. That actually was my last book, Shamanic Breathwork, Journey Down the Limits.
There was the visionary shamanism. That's
it's visionary shamanism. And but just since you said that, I'll go ahead and plug that one too. Shamanic Breathwork is the powerful process that we use to help people transform their lives, and that came through me about 16 years ago after many years of study and practice in a lot of different fields. And that does have a wonderful CD to journey with as well. However, Visionary Shamanism is the newest book, and it just came out on 11-11-11, an auspicious day for it to come out. And our great friend and soul brother, shamanic soul brother, who lives in San Francisco, Matt Venuti, who is a master at, although he wouldn't call himself that, that's us calling him that, but a master at working with the Hong, which it means the hand. And it's an incredible instrument that really catapults you into very high frequencies just by listening to it. He doesn't even call it an instrument. He calls it a structure. So anyway, the music is aligned with the visionary shamanism, and visionary shamanism, of course, is aligned with shamanic breathwork, because that's part of how we open up to the visions, is through the method of using the breath in a powerful way.
And the book that also the accompanies with the CD, the CD also is sort of a mystical journey that sort of goes with it, because I know you have a couple tracks on there, and it's also sort of a heart chakra balancing and alignment.
Yes, it actually balances through all the chakras. It starts out with a few songs, with, like I said, with the Hong, that and there's some other instruments in the CD as well. But it starts out with the lower chakras, actually, and then moves into the heart, and then the higher chakras. And then the very last track is a song that was written by Matt Venuti. And also, he's been in a band for a long time out in San Francisco that's well-known internationally. They've played for a lot of big events, like the Earth Dance and things like that. And it's a group called the Venusians. And so there's a song at the end called We're All in This Together, and it's not a rap song, but it's kind of a quick lyrics talking about all the different types of people: drummers, strippers, gay, straight, bi, Buddhist meditators. It just tree huggers, and it goes through, and then it says, "We're all in this together. We're all in this together." So that's a kind of a celebration song that's played at the end after listening to this rather journey type music to kind of bring you back, so that you can, you know, after you've traveled through the chakras and after you're really open, then to come back and to remember that we're all in this together.
Absolutely. And I listened to that, the CD this week, and yeah, the last track, it did remind me of a hip hop track, and it was an awesome song to finish off the CD. And when I first put in the CD, as soon as the music came on with the waves crashing and stuff, my third eye was ringing, and it rang the whole time. So it's amazing music, and that's really cool that you had him do that CD, because it fits perfectly to the work that you do. And talking about shamanic breath work, we know that it's conquered addictions, stress-related diseases, without medications. How can it help us to heal the world, shamanic breath work?
Well, you know, we've had this, I guess you could say, a saying or motto for a very long time with Venus Rising, Venus Rising Association for Transformation, which is our organization, which is a nonprofit organization, that we heal the world one psyche or one person at a time. And that's, you know, that we work very deeply with people and transforming them. We don't do cookie cutter treatments. We're not doing Band-Aid therapy. My background is originally in mental health in the field of addictions, which I honor both of those fields very much. But my own personal evolution and Brad's and mine evolution and our whole team has taken us, I guess you could say, beyond that to a certain extent. We incorporate in some of those philosophies into our work, but we're also really looking at a person as being a whole being rather than a diagnosis or just an addiction. And so we understand that within every one of us, there's a healer. You know, if we cut our hand immediately, you know, I cut my hand a little while ago, I've got a paper cut, and immediately I could feel everything went to that, the attention went there in my body and started healing that area, and then, you know, scabbing over, doing what it needs to do to heal. and then eventually it'll go away. It's not deep enough to make a scar. Sometimes we have something that makes a scar, but it still heals. And we're like that as well, that we have everything inside of us always wanting to bring healing to us if we can get out of the way and if we can let it happen. So the shamanic breathwork is a powerful method that will move the energy within us, the powerful, we call it the shaman within or the teacher or healer within, to bring healing. But we have to move the ego out of the way so that our bigger self can come in. Some people like to refer to it as spirit or the soul. I don't really care what people call it, as long as they just do it. So it's a process that really works for people. I've been doing breath work in some form for close to 30 years, and for myself and with other people. And this method is really a powerful way to access those parts of ourselves.
And it's something that I deal with. I'm sure everyone in the spiritual community deals with when you talk to people about shamanic breath work or anything really spiritual. It's just, a lot of times you run up to a brick wall with people's just the way we've been brought up and programmed. Most people have a hard time breaking out of that matrix. What are some things we could do to help change the mindset of those who are like resistant to change?
Working through resistance, this is Brad, Jonah, working through resistance is, you know, so individual for every person. The truth is, my experience is that most people won't change until their old way of living and their old patterns become so painful that they can no longer stay there. And so there really is a kind of a death and rebirth process. We have to reach a point, and think about this, Jonah, as long as your old way of doing things was still working, why would you open to something new? But if you've come to a place where that pattern is just outworn and it's not going to work anymore, and, you know, a real clear way to understand this is with addictions. You know, for instance, a person might be drinking and drugging, and that works for them for a while. You know, there aren't too many consequences at first, but as they go on, the consequences way outweigh the benefits, and that way of life becomes the womb becomes a tomb. It becomes a place of that's going to lead to death. And so they come to a point where they're willing to change. And talking to that person about why they should change until they're at that turning point, until they're at that point of the old way no longer working, is difficult at best. And, you know, Einstein said, we can't change a problem from the level of consciousness that created it. And so really our work is all about a shift in consciousness, a shift in awareness, where one day the glass is half empty and a moment later with that shift in consciousness, the glass is half full.
Just to add a little piece onto that, in traditional addictions model, you have to wait till a person hits bottom. And that's, you know, this kind of a common thought in the addictions field. But that's not so in the shamanic breathwork field and with visionary shamanism. Part of what we're seeing now is that people are more proactive in wanting to move through their resistance. And I think that, quite frankly, if you could say that we're standing on the shoulders of the old mental health system, the old addictions field, and the good work they did, but in a lot of ways, unless they're evolving, they're dinosaurs. And because a lot of people now are waking up, and they don't have to have as big a bottom thing. You know, we don't have to wait till every species on the planet is extinct before we wake up. And one of the wonderful things about working with the shamanic breath work is that because the ego is the part that's so resistant, when we do the breath work, the ego moves out of the way, and the bigger self, and we do have a bigger self, you know, whatever you want to call it, the soul,
higher
the higher self. When it emerges, it shows you the whole picture. It doesn't show you just the one little fragment that your ego is attached to, so that it oftentimes there doesn't have to be great consequences unless you're, you know, just waiting on the outer world to change you. So the breath work actually opens you up to other dimensions, and you don't have to wait for something horrible to happen.
And I've heard that throughout with the spiritual community, that it's all in the breath. Whichever you know, type of breath work you do, it's all within slowing down the breath to open up these dimensions. And I love the fact that you brought up addiction, because talking from some of myself, and I've battled with addiction most of my life. You know, addiction is addiction in any form. Like, I look at the people who watch Dancing with the Stars being addicted because they're programmed, you know, and like that's their drug. Like, and I think until a lot of that goes away, like money, so many people are addicted to money, and addiction's in many, many, many forms. And it's great that you bring that up, because a lot of people don't even like to talk about it. They don't want to admit it until they hit rock bottom, and that's so true. I think like a financial collapse, or that's going to be the rock bottom for the money addicts, or you know, whatever it's going to take. And I think that's also when the mass awakening will really happen, is when things like that happen, where people don't have that money to be addicted to, or the TV to watch, you know, to be addicted to TV. Because I have friends that literally watch TV all day long, all the time, and they're like addicted to it. And it's so important to be aware of your own addiction, because addiction could be anything, and it really,
absolutely,
really, it's for everybody. Everyone, it seems, the society is addicted to something, whether it be oil or drugs, or you know, have your take. So this breath work, the shamanic breath work, is basically can tune out every addiction, any addiction, and connect you to your higher self, which is amazing. And and part of that, what is your outlook, or what do you see happening with the planet over, say, the next 50 years if we don't take action now, like the Occupy Wall Street movement?
Well, you know, I have never been a major doomsdayer, but I'm really aware, you know, I'm a very sensitive and tend to be a very psychic person, but, you know, you could be as thick as a wall right now and still get it, that things are really in tough shape on the planet in every sector. In every area that you want to look at, if you want to look at, you know, with the substance abuse, with the consumerism, if you want to look at the economy around worldwide, and, you know, it's like the people are very happy that the soldiers are coming home, and I'm very grateful that troops are coming home, too. But my major concern is, and then where are they going to be sent to? You know, and, you know, I have to say I'm a little skeptical about that, but I'm grateful that they're coming home, and I know their families are too, so I don't want to take away from that. But it feels like to me at this moment that we have had the opportunity already to have a great wake-up call over and over and over again. To me, one of the biggest wake-up calls we had was what happened with the oil spill or the oil eruption and the cracking in the bottom of the earth, of the ocean floor. And do we hear anybody talk about that anymore? Like, why aren't people still talking about that? I don't understand. You know, but then again, too, you know, and I am a recovering addict, and I don't mind admitting that. I've been in recovery and, you know, have been free from substance addictions for 29 years. And
wow,
so that's not
that's
a part of my, you know, it's something I struggle with. And I have great empathy for people who do, but that's not a part of what I struggle with. What I struggle with now is oil addiction, you know.
Mm.
I'm still an oil addict. And I'm looking for ways to how I can find recovery. And it's very difficult because there's not any 12-step meetings out there or therapy too much for being an oil addict, because everybody's so implicitly involved with it. We're all, you know, we're all part of it. You know, anytime we drink out of a plastic cup, we're part of it. So I believe that in answering your question, that we have to hit a bottom soon, that humanity in mass has to hit a bottom soon. We have to open up not only our minds, but maybe even more than our minds, we have to open up our hearts. And we have to open up our hearts, and we have to say, this doesn't get it. It's not okay that there were 331 rhinos killed last month. That's not all right in South Africa. It's not all right. There's just very few white lions left on the planet, these incredible creatures. It's not okay that there's millions of people starving every day, that most of the world doesn't have fresh water to drink just to this day or enough food to eat. And it's criminal. And
absolutely,
so we have to look at ourselves. We can't just point to the oil companies. We can't just point to the corporations, although that's where we start holding them accountable. But I'll tell you, we need to start holding ourselves accountable and really doing the deep exploration in our inner world to find out how we can change our consciousness. You know, because we're in a culture, in a world, really, that's suffering from soul sickness. And Alan Combs, he's a famous author, had actually wrote that on my book in The Visionary Shamanism, that this book was a basically a great help or inspiration in a world that's soul sick. And I believe that if we could all begin to do practices, and as you said, part of our journey is the breath, but using breath techniques to open our hearts, open our psyches, and discover those new energies. You know, the green energies is in the heart. That's the heart chakra. And we need to bring those green energies from our heart back out into the world to our green planet. And it needs to become a priority. I think if we don't make a change in the next 5 years, that we're going to see tremendous catastrophe on the planet. And that's just the way I, you know, what I see. I've been seeing it for a long time. And, you know, the I guess the other part of that to create some balance is through our programs and the work that we do, we run up against people of all ages, young people, older people. We just did a month long here. Our youngest person was 17. Our eldest person was almost 70. And most of the people ranged, you know, between 17 and 70, learning this process and how to take it out in the world and teach other people how to do it. And all of these people are looking at how to change themselves and how to change the world. And we work with hundreds and thousands of people every year, and that's the really good news.
That's what's up. That's awesome. And before we go, Brad, tell us about the amazing community that you have, Isis Cove and the Venus Rising Institute, to all the listeners. Give out the websites. Tell us a little bit about that, what you guys have created in your own home by Cherokee.
The Venus Rising Association is our nonprofit organization that is dedicated to transformation. And we provide education, we provide retreats, we provide transformational workshops, both free and for tuition. And people can find out about that at www.shamanicbreathwork.org. Shamanic Breathwork is all one word, www.shamanicbreathwork.org. And Starwolf and I moved to Western North Carolina about 8.5 years ago from just north of San Francisco in the Bay Area. We wanted a place on the land where we could develop a spiritual community and where we could create a place where people could come and in a safe environment, close to nature, close to the land, take apart the self-defeating behavior patterns and the parts of themselves that just weren't working anymore, and, you know, bring forth, birth their bigger selves into the world. And that's what Isis Cove has been for people, for hundreds and thousands of people from around the world since we came here. We really feel blessed to be in the sacred mountains, the oldest mountains in the world, Jonah.
Absolutely. And just to add on something real quick, I have been out to the Isis Cove, and the energy is there is amazing. And every time I go out there, I feel blessed that there's even places like that to go to, because in this ever-changing world, it seems that we need so many of those communities now. I feel this should be everywhere, and I know that that's coming. But it's great to have that now in motion, and the Venus Rising Institute and everything you guys are doing. It's amazing work. And Star Wolf, I just want to thank you for the pinch of sand you gave me from the Great Egypt, the Great Pyramid over in Egypt. And that was amazing when I went out there. So thank you again for that, because it is still in my medicine bag, and amazing time. And I have 3-year books here, so sorry I got confused at the beginning.
That's okay.
I have a stack of them here, as well as the Anubis Oracle cards, which you gave me, and I used them yesterday. Those are amazing as well. So thank you both for coming on the show, and check out shamanicbreathwork.org for more information. Thank you both.
Thank you, Jonah. Come back out and see you soon.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you real soon. And with that, here's another track from Euphoria, Ibiza, Skydive.
Please smile.